as Zion drops the hammer.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, New York is the mecca of basketball.
Zion couldn't stop smiling when asked about New York, and he said a whole lot more than that. So what does it mean? We will discuss. Time to call the fire department, though, on Steph Curry. Is he first team All-NBA this year? And projected top three pick Jalen Suggs is here at the jump to hang out. Should he go number one? Will he have the chance to? And the Blazers rolled out the red carpet so Miles Bridges could just punish the rim again. All that and more coming up on The Jump. Welcome indeed to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Robert Ori, Matt Barnes are going to be joining me shortly. Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs will also join us later in the show. Coming up, we're going to talk about Bam Adebayo, sunk a game winner against the Nets yesterday. Have the Heat reached their turning point in this season? We will discuss that shortly as well. But first, I am now joined by our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Thank you so much for being here, Woj.
Rachel.
First, I want to ask you about your story from yesterday. Serious topic that matters to so many people around the league. We have a potential verdict coming up this week in the Derek Chauvin trial for the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. How is the league preparing for this, since so many people, players, staff members, everyone involved in the game, this is just so important?
Rachel, the league over the last several days has reached out to all 30 teams to have them be vigilant, be prepared for the possibility that there could be game postponements this week based on the verdict and the aftermath of that. If there are protests, if there are, you know, a number of circumstances that could dictate, you know, that games for, you know, perhaps 1 or even 2 days aren't played. Now, the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, who had a game postponed last week with the Nets, they made it up a day later. They're on the road the entire week. They're on a 4-game, 7-day trip that they started against the Clippers last night. But certainly the league is vigilant on this, and they've been in close contact with teams, and ultimately, you know, we'll wait and see what happens once a verdict comes back.
Well, hopefully the verdict will be one that doesn't require amounts of people to go into the streets and protest. We hope that justice will be done. All right, I wanted to ask you also about Kevin Durant after he exited yesterday's game in the first quarter with a thigh injury. What's the update on his status?
Well, the Nets just wanted to see, Rachel, how he felt today coming back in. You know, typically with that kind of a bruise, you know, I think you anticipate some days, sometimes it may hurt more the next day, and then they would start to take his return to play from there and how long it's going to be. But there was no expectation that this was going to keep him out for any significant timetable, that this was going to be a day-to-day injury. You know, so he came in to do his treatment. They were on the road. They play in New Orleans tomorrow. And so they're just kind of working through it with him. And there's no sense that this is a significant injury, Rich.
Good news for Nets fans. All right, we teased this off the top of the show, but now I want to play the full response from Zion Williamson when he was asked about playing in Madison Square Garden yesterday. Take a listen.
I'm glad you asked that, actually. I mean, New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't lie to you.
Woj, that was just with a small percentage of the fans that are usually in the building allowed in the building. How are people around the league reacting to those comments from Zion?
Yeah, I think it gets your attention with Zion Williamson because he's always pretty careful with what he says. He's always pleasant. He's always talkative. But in this case, it was clear, and he even said it at the beginning, hey, I'm glad you asked that question. And he was ready to respond to it. Listen, certainly, I think when you're a small market team like New Orleans, you know that ultimately there's going to come a time where you're going to have to fend off big markets for your star players. And so they have a window of time here, you know, really 3 years before he could, 3+ years before he could, you know, potentially leave as an unrestricted free agent, you know, to be winning, to have a great relationship with him, to show that all the outside endorsement things that you want are available to you in New Orleans. We've seen in history, you know, whether you're in a small market or a big market, the big shoe deal. Zion got a huge shoe deal coming out of school. So those are all the things you have to be working on. But, you know, certainly he was pretty animated with it. And it's certainly something I think down the road for people to keep their eye on. But right now, you know, he's in New Orleans. He's going to be in New Orleans. And they have a window here with the young core they have to improve, get better, and make him want to stay there.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Don't go too far. We'll see you back later in the show. I want to turn my attention, though, to these guys here sitting next to me. Zion calling Madison Square Garden, quote, his favorite place to play. And then, besides New Orleans, obviously, he put that in there. I would like to welcome in seven-time champ Robert Horry, 2017 champ Matt Barnes. What was your reaction, Mark? Matt, you were watching that sound, and you said on the set, you said, he's cheesing.
I mean, I think the energy tells you everything. And this is like Woj touched on, this small market trouble will always loom these small market teams. This is probably the inevitable. And if I'm the New Orleans franchise, I'm thinking again, okay, dang, we lost Chris Paul. Dang, we lost Anthony Davis. Zion is the next face of the franchise that, you know, and I'm sure Pelicans fans hate to hear this. I hope he stays, but I don't see him ending his career in New Orleans because of, you know, these small market teams never really get over that hump, and you talk about they can offer him the absolute max, but when you're getting as much money off the court, that kind of balances out, and if you know you go to a New York market or an LA market, you're going to make all that up. So it's just tough being a small market team, so enjoy it while you have it.
For me, I think you should just take a book out of Giannis's page. Yeah. You know, this is your team. Try to grow with this team. Right. I know you're enthusiastic about places like New York. I was enthusiastic places like the Forum. Right. You know, when you watching basketball as a kid, you have these places you want to play in. Yeah. I guarantee you the Forum is, I mean, the Madison Square Garden was a place he wanted to play in. Now he's accomplished that. But when he sits back and says, okay, now I'm going to go to Staples. They got a nice room. I'm going to go over here to another room. They got music. Hey, hold on. Madison Square Garden ain't what it's all cracked up to be. It had a rain delay, by God. It rain delay. This is not the Mecca of basketball anymore.
Ooh.
That's what you got.
So Robert Horry, those are shots fired at the New York organization.
New York. You know, I'm out from Alabama, but California to me is the Mecca of basketball now. Because there's so many great guys that come out of California that don't get the recognition that they should. But New York is still great. Don't get me wrong. But it's not the Mecca anymore. It has changed. But Zion, stay in New Orleans. It's a great city. Be a guy who's just one franchise only.
I think the energy says it all, though. You can't hide the energy. And he's cheesing, smiling the whole entire time. So I'm scared.
Well, I will say this, that Woj alluded to it. Teams have 7 years of a guy's rights, right, when they draft him. 7 years. So that is a long time to have a player in your system, to sell him on your organization, so a guy like Giannis can decide, hey, you know what, I want to sign that Supermax and stay. I think that's a fair shot. And if Zion decides after that time that he wants to move on, that is up to him. But you can't say that New Orleans wouldn't have gotten a chance with him. Personally, it is my favorite city in America. I've said this a million times. I hope ESPN opens up a studio there. But that's neither here nor there on Zion's future.
All right, going with you.
Coming up, KD listed off his top five teammates. We'll discuss that in just 2 minutes. So Kevin Durant was a guest on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast and asked to name his top five teammates. He said Kyrie, James Harden, Steph Curry, Russ, and Clay. Now, a little internet chatter about him initially not having Westbrook's name at the tip of his lips. Come on, guys. People Russ in there, so let's get past that. Matt, who would be your sixth man on KD's best teammates list?
Man, that's a tough question right there, because he did add Russ, and you saw everyone try to hate because some people edited to where he didn't say Russ, so that's just more media drama. Man, sixth man, that's hard to say. I mean, maybe Clay? Maybe Russ? Oh, it's sixth man.
Yeah.
So is Russ on this list?
Yeah, Russ is on that list. So Serge Ibaka maybe is one of the guys.
He listed Serge, so Serge would probably be the sixth man, but that's a hell of a roster. All Hall of Famers.
Not bad.
I'm going with Draymond, because you need someone a little nasty in there. You got to throw that.
But he didn't list Draymond, though, did he?
No, he didn't. He's saying who would be sixth.
Oh, anybody. Oh, yeah. I'm taking Dre over Serge then.
Yeah.
There you go.
All
right. Well, Kevin Durant apparently has played on good teams with good players. There you go. Guys want to play with Kevin Durant. And what a weekend it was, guys, for the Heat overall. They lost to the Timberwolves on Friday. Minnesota, remember, has the worst record in the league. Jimmy Butler, not happy, very upset. After the game, he was critical of the team, broke down how he would like Bam to approach opposing defenses. Take a listen. This was Friday.
We're just being soft. That's it. Not getting in the bodies, scared of some contact, soft overall. I want Bam to attack the rim because nobody can stay in front of him. Nobody can stay in front of him. Go. You're going to get fouled or you're going to dunk on somebody. That's cool. I love him shooting mid-range jump shots too, but he lets people off the hook and he play bully ball. I like bully ball.
All right, so Jimmy with some old school talk there. I want to make it clear, when you're talking about soft at the beginning of that soundbite, he was talking about the whole team. That was not about Bam. The Bam part, though, was about the end, saying, hey, young one, you got to go bully ball. Don't hit those mid-range jumpers. Then, of course, he goes and hits the mid-range against the Nets that won the game, which I'm sure Jimmy was fine with. But do you think that, like, that hard talk, and we know that Jimmy is not afraid to say anything, right, that kind of talk made a difference and that we have seen a turning point, Robert, with the Heat?
You know, Jimmy is that type of guy who can inspire you by his words. A lot of times when certain guys say what Jimmy say, they look, oh, he's just talking noise, he's just blowing smoke. But Jimmy can back it up because he says, I'm not going out there and I'm lead by example. Yes. And he's that type of guy that's going to be bully ball and say, look, this is what I did. See how effective I am? See why I'm an all-star? See why I get paid the big bucks? Follow my lead. And I think Bam is one of those guys who can do both, be finesse and bully ball, because he has the talent to do whatever he wants on the court.
I think Rob hit it perfectly. He's one of those lead by example leaders. So when mm-hmm. he speaks, it means more. You know, yep. a lot of guys are lip service, but Jimmy is your best player going out there and diving. Similar to the way Kobe. Kobe wasn't much of a talker. Kobe was more follow my lead type thing. So when he spoke, you listened. So I definitely understand what he's saying. This team goes as Jimmy goes. So, you know, they've had some spurts that we think, are they turning the corner? They've had a couple different moments this year and they haven't necessarily turned the corner. In the seventh spot right now, but we all know if this team gets hot in the playoffs, what can happen? This team has the experience now. They've been there. They've done that. So they just got to get to the playoffs and kind of figure it out. So we'll see, you know, how this play-in situation works. But, you know, this is always a dangerous team with Jimmy leading it.
And such a tough season for them, right? Right there with the Lakers is the shortest turnaround in the league and then wrecked by COVID. They had COVID rip through that team as well. They've had injuries. So I'm not shocked that at the end of a season like that, they are going to find themselves in the bottom half of the playoff bracket. Will be interesting, though, if harsh words from Jimmy Butler and some inspired play by Bam Adebayo is a 1-2 punch over the weekend, if that gets them starting.
Nobody's going to want to play them, though.
No. Amen to that. Coming up, we're going to have Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs joining the jump. He's got a little announcement to make, friends. I'll give you just, you know, I was going to say I'll give you three guesses. I'll just give you one guess, because if you can't get it in one, you're not paying attention to basketball. We will ask him about the shot, though, as well. You know which one there, too. Stick around. Jalen Suggs on the other side of the break. Welcome back to The Jump. Woj is back with Robert, Matt, and myself. And let's take a look at the upcoming NBA draft, July 29th, right here on ESPN. The 2021 class is loaded, friends. And our next guest, rising up the ESPN Plus mock draft board, all the way up to the third spot now on the heels of his incredible Final Four shot. You remember what I'm talking about. If you don't, here it is.
We're tied at 90. Here comes Suggs. Long three for the win. Oh! And they're one win away from an undefeated national championship.
I could watch that 100 times, Jalen Suggs. Welcome to The Jump. You're coming to us from Minneapolis, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, welcome here. I know you have an announcement to share with us. Please, though, share your message first.
First I wanted, you know, before I announce anything, to touch on, you know, everything that's going on back here at home, you know, and the killing of Dante Wright. You know, it's tough times for our city right now, especially with, you know, Derek Chauvin going on and a lot of hostility and, you know, really chaos. And I mean, it's hard to be around. It's hard to see, again, you know, continually happen over and over. And, you know, I'm ready to, you know, bring action. You know, there's been a lot of statements and, you know, a lot of words being said by people. You know, I'm ready to put actions behind those words now and get to work on making real change and real difference. So, before anything, you know, I wanted to touch on that and, you know, show my support there.
I'm so glad you said that. And obviously, when you get to the NBA, you see the platform that these pros have, what you can do, and the strength of your voice and actions is so enormous. And to see you wanting to take that on even before you get there, Jalen, it really speaks well of you. I do want to congratulate you on an amazing freshman season at Gonzaga, and you're here now to talk about your next chapter. What's going on?
Yes, thank you. I will be entering my name into the NBA draft, signing on the agency. Super excited. I can't wait to take this this next step in my journey. You know, something I've dreamed about since I've been a little kid. And to be here now is surreal, and I'm ready to get going.
Congratulations, Jalen. That's incredible.
Jalen, congratulations on the decision, this next chapter for you. You know, your father, Larry, told me that you were playing against fourth graders when you were in kindergarten. You were playing against sixth graders when you were in the second grade. And obviously at Gonzaga, you know, you had an older team that you led. How do you think that might help you when you get to the NBA and then at 19 or 20, as a point guard, you are asked to lead, you know, older players from that point guard position?
I think it's helped me a lot. You know, going in the locker room and kind of commanding vets, you know, and being that presence, you know, that they can look at and, you know, for leadership and things like that, you know, I think it's a quality that is built, you know, inside of you. It's, you know, something that I've been practicing since I've been a little kid, you know, coming up playing always with older competition and with older guys. And it's something that I feel like I can come in, even though I'm young, you know, new rookie to the league, you know, I can be someone in the locker room who always leads by example. And is ready to go put in, you know, all the work, you know, for the team, for the organization, you know, and for whatever city, you know, I'll be joining.
Well, Jalen, congratulations on the decision, but I have a question. I've been known to make a big shot or two, so tell me exactly, after you made that big shot, what was going through your mind?
Don't worry, I've heard all about Big Shot Rob. I was super excited. It's surreal, because those are ones when, you know, you're in the gym messing around, you're throwing shots up, you know, pretending to be messing around with your buddies, and, you know, these are the moments that you live out. And, you know, to actually be present in one of those and, you know, to live out that dream, you know, that I've always had since a kid, it was surreal. And, again, I just remember going straight towards the table. That was the first thing on my mind, and getting up there and celebrating. So
hey, I might be the only one, Jalen, how you doing, Matt Barnes? I might be the only one on this panel that wasn't happy about that shot. I was heartbroken. you took down my Bruins. I thought we were going to make a magical run. But again, congratulations on your announcement. The NBA awaits you. I'm excited about what you're going to do. But what drew my attention, too, is you turned that shot into an NFT. I've got in this space recently. I'm launching my first NFT tomorrow with ease. Tell me what went behind your thinking in turning your shot into an NFT, because I think it's a great idea.
It's just a great marketing opportunity, you know, something that is one of one, you know, that can never be replicated again. And, you know, for it to be, you know, shopped around and celebrated, you know, because that's it's an iconic moment, honestly, and a special moment, not only for me, but, you know, a lot of people saying, you know, it's one of the best shots and, you know, NCAA, you know, March Madness and things like that. So that's where all the words come in that image, you know, iconic, magical, March Madness. The shot, you know, things like that. So now I'm excited for it. Super cool graphic and artwork. And it's a big step for me.
Anytime a player can make money off of his actual work that he did in college, I'm always very happy about that too. So congratulations. Yes. There. Now there's still a ton of NBA basketball to be played before the draft lottery happens on ESPN June 22nd. So as you're kind of watching the slots kind of go around, which are you hoping for? Are you more focused on where in the order you are picked or the city that picks you?
I think right now I'm more focused on, you know, just getting better and putting myself in the best position, you know, to be taken, you know, wherever they feel, you know, they feel I can, you know, and if that's top three, top five, lottery, you know, whatever it is, you know, I'm excited for it. Not really watching it too much, you know, just because it's really easy to get caught up in that stuff and, you know, and watching the teams and things like that. Because at the end of the day, I'm really excited, you know, just to go join, you know, the NBA and, you know, go be, you know, among and play against those guys night in and night out that, you know, I've idled since I've been a kid.
Well, it's going to be fun. You've got an exciting few months ahead, Jalen. And again, what you said at the top of this segment here, so important. The NBA is going to be very, very lucky to have you. Thanks for coming on the show. Best of luck on draft night. We'll see you.
Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks. And Woj, thanks for joining us today as well. Coming up, we're going to talk about Steph Curry because the man is on actual fire, literal actual fire. Is he in contention for that All-NBA first team this year? Because it's heavy. That guard slot, it's heavy competition. We'll discuss next. First, though, here's what the Jump recommends for today. ESPN NBA Power Rankings. Sixers are on top, but head over to the app to find out how the rest of that top 10 is shaken out. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, hanging out with Robert Horry, Matt Barnes. Gentlemen, let's talk about Steph Curry. Stayed hot with 47 against the Celtics in our primetime game on Saturday night. I got to be honest, I was in the building for this one. I've seen so many great players, and this still knocked my socks off. Afterward, Nick Friedell asked Steve Kerr how Curry has been able to elevate his game in this recent stretch. Take a listen.
Nick, he's just... He's Steph Curry, you know. So it's not just the skill level. It's the confidence. It's the bravado. It's the willingness to fail and the and not think twice about it. He goes for it every time, every play, competes, not afraid of failure, and trusts his skill because he's worked his whole life for this, and he's just at the peak of his powers.
This is really what it felt like being in the building. As great as he's been in the past, like this is just a whole other level, which seems impossible. We talk about All-NBA. There's a lot of competition for those two guard spots, right? So does Steph get one of your spots, Robert?
Yes, he gets my first spot. He gets my first spot because the body of work he's doing right now. I know everybody said, well, they're not in playoff contention, but hey, it doesn't matter. This guy is putting in work, got a great run, but my best guy after him is Damian Lillard. Dame's game, I know everybody wants to talk about Luka because he came in this season being an MVP candidate, but Dame Lillard gets forgotten about so much. Dame time is a real thing. You got to understand, this guy has made a clutch shot against every team in the NBA. Not many people can say that, so Dame Lillard is my second guard.
I completely agree with Rob on both fronts.
Okay.
Steph is first team to me. Dame is my off guard when it comes to that. But you can think about it, I think he's 0.1 or 0.4 off leading the league in scoring behind Bradley Beal. Eight straight, averaging 40 points over his last eight. 10 straight 30-point games, tying Kobe for the oldest to ever do it past 33. So he's playing on another planet right now. And I said at the beginning of the season, we're going to get to see Steph Curry's version of James Harden. What James has been able to do in Houston the past few years has been incredible because he was the number one, two, and three option. Steph is that here with Golden State, and he hasn't disappointed. This kid's been incredible.
And you played with him, Matt, and obviously he had already won MVP by the time you got there. You knew what kind of player he was. What surprised you, or what did you learn from playing with him that you didn't know before you were on the same team?
His work ethic.
Really?
You know, the time he puts in before or after practice is real every single day. The off-balance shots he's taken. Steve Nash used to have him and KD doing these crazy spin-around one-footed shots, but it was just working on balance, working on both hands. I mean, to see this guy shoot after practice was a pleasure. Like, I would sit sometimes and just watch him shoot because it's just he would shoot 100 shots and maybe miss three or four of them. It's insane.
That's crazy. And you're a guy who played with Kobe Bryant, so you know work ethic and you know sitting around watching shots.
Right.
Put him up at that. That's very impressive. All right. Joel Embiid also had a rock star season this year, but it hasn't stopped him from doing great work off the court as well. He teamed up with Covenant House. It's a really important organization. It works to combat homelessness, especially among teens, younger people, and it earned him the NBA Community Assist Award that was announced today. We talked about it briefly. Take a listen.
Congratulations, Joel, Community Assist Award. Why Covenant House? What about that particular group that made you feel like, that's where I can step in and make a difference?
It's been on my mind for a long time, but I was driving, you know, weeks ago, and it was cold. I mean, it's the winter, and I'm just driving, and then I see, you know, there was, you know, homeless people, and it was very cold, and then I'm like, and I've been thinking about it for a long time, but at that point at the stoplight, I was just like, is it possible that, like, why is it okay that a human being should go through this? Like, it's so cold, like, none of us should be outside and, you know, be dealing with this. And then started thinking, and then I was like, well, I've been thinking about this for a long time. Like, now it's really time to, you know, do something about it. And so I texted, you know, my people, and I told them that, you know, I wanted to do something. And then also thinking about, you know, families in general, because, you know, families, when able to work and make money, so, you know, just, you know, buying groceries and, you know, taking care of their rent, and obviously, you know, helping homeless people.
Well, it's certainly an incredible, incredible mission. You guys played the Nets recently. You've played the Bucks. It really feels like you guys and those two teams, there's going to be a rumble to get out of the East. Do you have confidence that you can beat anyone who is in your path on that journey?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, we got a lot of pieces, and it starts on defense. You know, we got a great defender in Ben. We got Matisse coming off the bench. Tobias has been underrated all season. Danny Green has always been a great defender, and me in the middle, you know, controlling the paint and making sure no one gets in there or altering shots or blocking shots. So I think that's where we focus on, and that's where our advantage is, because we can switch and we can just lock down anybody. And then offensively, we got a lot of weapons, but I mean, I'm not going to try to be cocky, but we got, you know, one guy that's, you could say, almost unguardable, or if you want to say unguardable. And
would that be you, Joel?
I'm not sure. We can guess.
Who are you talking about? About that. I don't know.
And, you know, and we can use his gravity to also, you know, create double teams and, you know, get guys wide open shots. So we got a lot of pieces, and we got a great coaching staff.
Thanks to Joel for taking the time. And again, Covenant House, it's a wonderful group. I implore all you guys to check it out. Coming up next, how worried are Robert and Matt about the latest injury to Kevin Durant? We'll circle back on that. It's crunch time here on The Jump. All right, the Kings snapped a 9-game losing streak with a win over the Mavericks Sunday. Yay! The Kings are 5 games back of the play-in. Can they make a run, Matt?
No. I love what De'Aaron Fox has been able to do, though. He's really come into his own as one of the young, bright superstars with these small market teams. I know they have some movement in the front office now, but it's all about drafting and trading because you're not going to get the big free agents. So, you know, I love my boy Luke Walton out there and De'Aaron Fox, but I don't see much out of this team.
I totally agree with Matt. The Kings team is nice, but they're not that nice. They still got a little bit more maturing to do as a team because they're young, and they're just not ready for the playoffs yet. They're not even ready for play-in playoffs yet.
Well, what do you things missing from that team? What else would you like to see besides Luka Doncic having been drafted there, which they could have had anyway? What do you think's missing from the Kings, guys?
A star. Another superstar to go with De'Aaron Fox.
Right, but you can't, as to Robert's point, it's unlikely. Not saying it can't. It's unlikely that right now, as constructed, they would attract that in free agency. Right. So
trades.
Right, just looking at
you, you would think with a great coach like Luke and, you know, Shaq being part owners, mm-hmm. that they would find some
great
way.
Fan base.
Yes, they got a new arena, new mm-hmm. got great fans. You can get somebody in there, but it's hard, though.
You guys were talking in one of the commercials that was actually one of the toughest places
yeah,
you've ever
absolutely.
Played.
Yes,
right?
I mean, great crowd out there, great fan base. They rally around that team, but it's just been it's been a struggle. But Jeff Petrie back in the day was the guy that was able to bring in all those pieces, Webb, Bibby, mm-hmm. Jay Will, all those guys, and they just haven't had that GM that's been able to go out there and get those tight players. And then, you know, key drafts outside of Fox, you know, their draft picks haven't really panned out yet. We're still waiting on Marvin Bagley to do what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to draft well and trade well when you're in a small market.
Mm-hmm. Again, so could have had the guy. Okay, I'm going to just stop. They've got 15 games left on their schedule, which means, yes, being 5 back in the play-in means they need to maybe just reset their sights. Let's talk about Lakers and Jazz. They face off again tonight after a really entertaining Saturday afternoon. Ended up winning. Robert, who needs tonight's win more in the standings?
This is going to be weird to say, but both of them, man, because you got to think about it. We don't know what's happening with COVID. The fans and the Jazz need to try to keep that number one spot of being the top of the league because they get home court advantage, and that's huge in the playoffs. And the Lakers need to be trending the right way, getting back into shape, getting AD back, LeBron back, and learning the big penguin how to play in the system. So you got to have this in order to not fall to that play-in spot.
Drummond out. Think of a nickname for him.
I think, you know, to me, it's more important for Utah. The Lakers have proven what they can do, and if they're healthy going into the playoffs, no matter what seed they are, they're still my favorite. To me, them and the Clippers are my two teams coming out of the West. So I think it's more important for Utah.
Well, look, Los Angeles was maybe hoping, hey, Denver might fall a little in the standings. We can go up there. But the Denver Nuggets have won two since Jamal Murray went down. So I don't know if that playoff positioning is going to flip. And if you're 4-5 or 5-4, it's the same series. So I don't know where that matters also. But look, they're going to get Anthony Davis back at the end of this week scheduled. What difference do you guys think that's going to make on the team?
Well, I think, and we spoke on this show, I think we're going to see the best big penguin once AD and LeBron are both back.
Yes.
Because he's not necessarily someone you load up like a Shaq or a traditional Laker big. He's someone that plays off the energy of other guys. So I think we're going to see an amazing Andre Drummond once they get their two stars back. To me, we got to walk AD back, you know, because his injury to me scares me more than LeBron's injury. I think LeBron has just taken some time. He had missed a game all season, so he's just getting his bearings ready for the playoffs. But to be able to get AD back and get in rhythm and flow and staying healthy is very important for the Lakers.
Yeah. If I'm AD, I'm kind of like licking my chops when he does get back, because we all know AD has kind of changed his game where he doesn't go to the hole as much.
Yeah.
Now, if you got that big penguin on the other side just tearing up the boards, you can take these shots. And also, I'm so excited to see him and LeBron in the pick and roll. Now you got LeBron coming off that. You got to pay attention to LeBron, and then you go over the top to him, because you don't have that now. When you had all the bigs from last season leave, you know, we both know Paul Gasol is not going up there and get that. I mean, Marc Gasol is not going up and get that. So
Powell's definitely not.
Yeah, Powell's not.
But so, Robert, to touch on your point, and this is kind of old school basketball, he puts a threat every time you run a pick and roll because you have to tag him. So that's going to leave AD open on the weak side and all their shooters on the weak side, because Andre Drummond, if you don't tag him, he's going to dunk it, or, you know, they're going to throw him a lob. So I think that's very important, a point that he brought up, because you have to be concerned now with their rolling big, and you weren't before this.
And, you know, he's going to get you 10 offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
That's just huge, especially playoff time.
Mm. Now, look, Frank Vogel has said they're going to start out playing him in bursts. Don't expect to see the full AD experience the minute he gets back. Because as you say, Matt, you want to be careful with that.
Absolutely.
All right, let's stay in L.A. The Clippers have won 8 of their last 9. They welcome Kawhi back in the lineup on Sunday. Matt, are you more or less confident in the Clippers at this point in the season than you were right before the playoffs last season? Because I just want to remind everyone, they were the favorites going into the playoffs last season in Vegas and a lot of other places too.
I think this is a great place for the Clippers to be in, because I'll speak as a former Clipper. We're not used to talking about winning a championship. You know, they've been able to stay under the radar. Paul George has been on a mission. He said at the beginning of the season on our podcast that he's going to be on one. He's had a chip the whole season. This needs to carry over to the playoffs, which I think it will. But Rondo is this security blanket that is going to make the difference for this team.
My whole thing is, you haven't won a championship, you should always have a chip. His whole team should have a chip, except for Kawhi, because he already got it. He got his one. But for me,
I'm Rondo.
The Clippers are cursed.
Yeah.
It's the Donald Sterling curse.
I'm
if you think about it, if you go all the way back to the years of Danny Manning, they get these guys and all of a sudden they realize, oh, we were the Clippers. We don't have our own arena. We playing over here in Compton. We playing over here. Oh, now we in the Staples Center. Get your own arena and maybe the curse will lift.
They're doing that. I would say, by the way, they have one of the most proactive owners in sports now, and he is, in fact, building a new arena that took a bunch of lawsuits to get done, and he's still doing it.
Yeah, no, I agree with the that Sterling curse, and that was one thing when I heard that Ballmer, by the way, great new, the everything of Donald Sterling is left except the curse. But I think, on a real note, I think they need to change their team name when they go to the new arena.
Really?
Just leave the Clipper, because what has the Clippers ever done?
Nothing.
Leave the Clipper garbage behind. Get a completely
reinvent,
and this is
themselves.
Someone who I love playing for them. I had a great time trying to prove our point getting there, but I think they need to just flush everything having to do with Donald Sterling, including the name, a new arena, new name, and get on, you know, get some good L.A. love.
I will say the Clippers' name isn't even about L.A., right? It's from when they played in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Clipper ship, it's kind of ship, so it was
get
about
it
the port there in San Diego. Well, NBA history.
Take the curse out.
For you. Before we go, I want to circle back to the play that knocked Kevin Durant out of the game yesterday against Miami. Durant fouled on a drive. It was a minute and a half in, missed both free throws, then exited about 4 minutes into the game. Now, he scored Brooklyn's first 8 points. This was called a left thigh contusion. Are you concerned, Robert, about an injury like this, either in the short term with KD or just the fact that it's one more now stretch without them having everyone?
Well, you think after a while, it's KD's like, I'm snake bitten, because you keep getting these injuries. This one might be a little nagging, it's still an injury. And I think back about Shaq. Shaq had this same thigh, and now he still has a hole in his thigh from where he got injured. I had the same thing. And you got to understand, that injury right above your kneecap is all about your leg flexing and having that momentum and stuff to explode.
I
And that's a very hard injury to have and to come back. I hope his is not severe because KD is one of the best basketball players you've ever seen play this game, and we want to see him out there.
Quad contusions are serious, and I don't think people know. That's why we wear, I don't know if you guys got to, we almost started wearing these football pads underneath because you get hit in the quad. That is serious. But I talked to someone in this camp yesterday. They weren't very concerned. I think this is a day-to-day injury. He'll be back. So hopefully he'll, I know he'll be ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I will say, as a layperson, I thought, oh, thigh bruise, whatever.
No,
but that's interesting that it really hits you like that.
Need that flex.
Locks everything else up.
Yeah. Again, I am not worried about how many games these guys have played together before the playoffs, because you were just talking about it. Kevin Durant has had Steve Nash as his coach long before they were both in Brooklyn. Right. Kevin Durant and James Harden have played together a lot. They've played on Olympic teams together. That aspect, I really think they're going to be fine. And look at this chart. When only two of them are playing, they're still 20-6. All right, this just in at the buzzer. We just learned NBA free agency will start at 6 o'clock Eastern on August 2nd. Signings official at 12:01 Eastern. August 6th. Ooh, you are looking at notable free agents right now. So, Matt, which is the player that is going to really set the tone in free agency? Now, Chris Paul, I think, might have a player option we expect him to keep. So I'm not sure he's going to be in there. Same with Kawhi Leonard. But we don't know about his player option. He has not said whether he's going to pick it up or not.
And I don't think he's the person that's going to keep everyone's suspense. And I think Kawhi is the key. Obviously, the youngest, most productive, two-time champ, finals MVP on that list. So I think a lot surrounds what he's going to do.
I like DeMar DeRozan because he's angry, he's hungry, he hasn't won anything. Think about it. He's been so close in Toronto, he leaves and then win a championship. So I think DeMar DeRozan is the one that I would go after, especially because he just wants it. And he's that guy that can give you 40 without shooting a three.
I would love to see Chris Stein in extension and finish in Phoenix with Book, because I know he really likes it out there. So.
Well, it's funny. I mean, that final year of his contract next year was the thing that was supposed to be, with so much money. It was supposed to be the, quote, anchor around his neck. Means that he would never be successful again after he got traded after Houston. Guess what? He's done pretty well for himself.
Yeah, that's one of my really rich friends right there.
He's buying when they go out. That's it for today. The Jump is back tomorrow at 3 Eastern. See ya.